And that's what you want. You want your name to be written in heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If you knew that, if Jesus were to say to you, do you know your name is written in heaven? Well, that means I'm already saved. That means I'm already in eternity. He says, yeah, that's why I came to earth, was to bring you the kingdom, to rebreathe. That's why we say the Jesus. Jesus, breathe in me. Breathe in me your divine life. If I can conceive that divine life, if I can live in that divine life, then that means I've entered into the eternal sphere of living. And my name is written in heaven. And all I have to do is just stay on the train. Just don't jump off the train. You know, we all have free will. And the church says, you know, until the last moment of your life, you can win salvation. You can come back to God. But that also means you are free, and until the last moment of your life, you can reject your baptism. You can reject God. You can lose your salvation as well. So Jesus says, just come in to me. And this is why I'm always talking about, well, how do I do that? Just stop thinking about yourself. That's what I'm always saying, right? Stop thinking about yourself. Start thinking about the Lord when you wake up in the morning. And as you go through your day, just think about the Lord. And as you go through your day, you just say, Lord, I just want to be pleasing to you. I want every single thing I do during the day to be a good thing, something that is pleasing to you. And I want to offer it to you. I want to offer it to you. And every single thing I do, I want to give you the glory for it. I want to give you the credit. Any talent I might have, it all came from you, right? God gave us our bodies. God gave us our minds. Anything that we do on this earth, it all came from him. So shouldn't he get the glory? Yeah. And that's what it means to be a new creation. Is you start living for him and you give him the glory. And then he said, I promise you, I will come to you. My Father and I will come to you. And you will know us. And you will know our truth. And the truth will set you free. And then you will be with us for all eternity. You will become, as Paul says, a new creation. And that's why they're rejoicing. And yet, Jesus says, I send you out like lambs among wolves. Just remember that just because you come into this new life in the Holy Spirit, you still live in a broken world. It's always sad to me when I read those words from Isaiah. This is 700 years before Christ, 2,700 years ago. And he's talking about Jerusalem. And rejoice with Jerusalem, because God's going to bless Jerusalem. The Jews were the chosen people of God. They were supposed to be a light to the nations, a blessing to all the nations. And then I don't know if there's ever been peace in Jerusalem. If you look back at the last 2,000 years, ever since Isaiah, there's just been nothing but violence, people fighting over the Holy Land. Today, you say, my gosh, the more things change, the more they don't change. They stay the same. And Jesus says, yeah, because you continue to live in a broken, fallen world. And so expect that. Don't be surprised when you go through difficult times. Whether it's anything, mental illness, emotional illness, physical illness, problems in the family, problems in the world, problems with weather. Right now, what a tragedy in Texas, right? With the floods, my goodness. Something like 43 children, something like that now. They can't find, they know, they are lost. Jesus says those things are going to happen. But still rejoice. That's what that psalm says. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Because despite everything that's going on, he's blessing us. He's blessing us. He's still calling us into relationship with him. Because that's what he wants. He wants our love. You must know that in creating man, I released a quantity of love from within my divinity, which was to serve as primary life of the creatures. That's why we were so amazing and so beautiful in the beginning. So that they might be enriched, sustained, strengthened, and helped in all of their needs. But man rejected this love. And my love has been wandering from the time man was created. And it keeps going round without ever stopping, rejected by someone, it runs to someone else in order to give itself. And as it is rejected, it bursts into sobs. So lack of correspondence causes the sobbing of love. This is the pain of our Heavenly Father. Unrequited love, right? He's pouring himself out and human beings reject it. And it comes back to him as a cry, as a pain. And so be proud. Be proud to give him back that correspondence. This is what Jesus did while he was on earth. While he was on earth, he did two things. He glorified his Heavenly Father. I only do the will of my Father. I only do what pleases my Father because I know the pain he's been experiencing, and I, Jesus, and our Holy Spirit, I know the pain we've been experiencing ever since the rejection, ever since original sin. Father, I will do what they won't do. If 90% of the world doesn't love you, I will love you. I will glorify you. In justice, you deserve that. You deserve all the credit. So this is what Jesus was doing. He was taking all of our lack of love, all of our lack of correspondence, our rejection of God, he was taking it all and he was redoing it and saying, Father, now take it. Take it through me, your Son. And he says, why can't you do the same? I baptized you into the Holy Spirit. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. You are the body of Christ. Why can't you do the same? So do the same. And just say, Lord, I give you the glory that all creatures should have given you. And anytime you see somebody doing something that is not of God, you take it and you redo it. I like to do that when I see people on TV or athletes or things like that. Anytime I see somebody like famous acting cool and taking all the credit for themselves, I did this, I did that, I'm better, I'm number one. I say, man. Say, Lord, I take all of that. It's arrogance, right? It's human pride. It's human arrogance, thinking that I'm better, I'm greater than even God. And I say, Lord, no, I take that human ego, that human arrogance, and I redo it. I redo it. And I give it to you redone so that the glory that you should receive, that all of us should be giving you, that famous person or that person that just took the glory for themselves, I redo it and I give it to you so you can be glorified the way you should be glorified. That's what Jesus did. And he says, you go ahead and do the same. And then the second thing he was doing, Jesus, he was repairing. He was reparation. He was making reparation for all of our lack of love, our lack of response, our lack of correspondence, for all of our sin. He was making reparation. That's why he was in the desert for 40 days, making reparation for us, fasting for us. And he says, so why don't you do the same? You make reparation for everything that is lacking. You know you still live in a broken, fallen world. So why don't you be proud to do those two things? Turn everything into glory. Everything that you do, don't take any of the credit. Give it all to the Lord. And then anytime you see other people taking it for themselves, you just take it, you redo it. You redo it, Lord, so that you will receive the glory. And I want to repair for all the lack of love, the lack of correspondence. So I will pray. I will pray for all the people who will not pray today. The vast majority of people today on earth will not make time for God in prayer. And it's Sunday. Right? It's the Lord's day. And yet the vast majority of people will not spend a half an hour or an hour a day in prayer. Most Catholics don't even go to church, right? They don't even have an hour. Too busy. Too busy living for themselves. So that's our job. Lord, I will go to Mass for everybody who won't go to Mass today. I will pray today for everybody who's not going to pray today. Like that. You repair. Those are the two things Jesus was doing. Giving his Father glory and repairing for the rest of us. And he says, this is why you should rejoice. This is what will make you happy. And you're able to do this no matter where you're at. Whether you're at St. Thomas More or you're in Mexico or wherever you're at, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus is just looking into your mind and your heart. And I had tons of opportunities in Mexico to do those two things, to give God the glory, because our world is falling. Our world has fallen in the United States, and it's fallen in Mexico, and it's fallen in Israel, and it's fallen in Texas. It's a hurting world, And so I go down to Mexico basically to improve my Spanish because I get to speak full-time for a whole month and to see people I know down there in Mexico City and Guadalajara and in Cuernavaca, and also to enjoy the cooler weather. It's usually hotter here over the summer than where I go down there because they are at about 6,000 feet elevation down there. Mexico City is above a mile high. It's like being in Lake Tahoe. And so the highs were in the 70s and the 80s when I was there. So I go down to and enjoy the weather. Those are the three reasons. But I never stop who I am. Never stop. Never stop who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're here in paradise or whether you're traveling abroad. And it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're at. You say, this is who I am. This is who I am. I give God glory and I repair. And Jesus says, wow, blessed are you. Your name is written in heaven.